TV.
In his final appearance on the great stage of MZTV at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, it is Terrence, young Terrence, mind you, young Terrence of Ontario, Canada, with your host here on MZTV, Martin Zender. Again, young Terrence is going to be flying home, so this is the last chance I'll be able to have him on the show, and he appreciates, I appreciate all your positive comments that you love Terry. I'm telling you, it has been great because I think we work well together. Terrence is kind of worried that he's a little too down. He's more like plays it soft, plays it cool, and I get fired up. But I told him it's the perfect combination. We even each other out. And so I'm happy to have him here. Before I go any further, I want to thank every one of you who has contributed. I mentioned medical expenses, and you've been a great help. So everyone who has contributed, and things are improving. I mean, I still probably gonna have to have surgery in September, but the wound, it has improved. I have a tumor in there somewhere, which is a scary thing to say and a scary thing to think about. Don't like to talk about it, but there's evidence that that is shrinking just in my own experience. But I'm gonna have to have a CT scan next week, the end of next week. So, not fun stuff. I enjoy this much better, but I just want to say thank you for your generosity and helping with some of those expenses, and there are several that aren't covered by insurance. So I think we thoroughly covered, to our satisfaction, this topic of ruling, reigning wages, and what's the word that everybody gets? Allotments. What was the other word, Greg? Endurance, allotments. Yeah, we're personally, Terry and I are very happy with the way we presented it and the way we handled it, except with one exception. I still owe an apology to Lawrence Schuler. I feel Lawrence says, don't worry about it, Martin. You're over worried about it. Don't overween above what your disposition must be. He's very gracious. I just feel like I kind of misrepresented his example he gave, and it was, I was a little heavy-handed. So there's that. Now, this whole topic of, we got off track, actually. The first day we were together on this most recent visit, we were intending to talk about judgment. And indeed, we began talking about judgment for about 5 minutes. And then somebody said something we haven't been able to figure out. But we got totally off the topic of judgment. Is it a God thing? It was a Spirit of God thing. And we went into this other topic that we've been discussing, to everyone's profit. I believe everyone's profited. One of those shows, I forget which one, but it had more comments. And I went back like 2 or 3 months and I could not find a show that had more comments than, I can't remember which show it was, but it was a show that you were on, Terrence. So you're quite the catalyst for views. I don't know. Something about you, you know, you just, you don't look controversial.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really look too much at the statistics, I guess, but
yeah,
my final show of the eon. I plan on this being my final video.
Oh, God, why did I give you the microphone? No, it's not going to be. He said that before. No. Ladies and gentlemen, don't sweat it. Sure. Don't sweat it. He said that before. Why would you say that? Isn't this enjoyable?
You're enduring. You'll keep doing the videos. Remember, I'm the one that doesn't endure so much. I'm content to just not be heard from ever again.
I know you're content to that, but you've been suffering evil for the evangel. You've probably never been more attacked by opposing viewpoints than you have this week. Maybe I'm wrong. Have you?
I probably did it more for your sake, and that I was too timid to say no. I doubt. I don't know. We'll see what happens at the dais. I'm thinking maybe what God is doing right now is letting one person that maybe we could reasonably assume will be ruling and reigning, and someone that won't be, and both members of the body of Christ discussing it. You know, maybe God is giving a picture for the audience here.
I can already feel the resentment. I have a feeling we're going to start talking about this topic again. Okay, we must stop. Yeah. But it made me a little uncomfortable. Here's a person we know is going to be ruling and reigning when a handful of there think everybody's going to be ruling and reigning. But here we go again. That's just how it happens. Anyway, I do want to say before one last, it's not just teachers we're talking about, right? Anyone who is suffering. So I think the most important thing on the topic of judgment is that the saints, I think we can all agree on this, but as soon as I say that, somebody's going to not agree. We do not come into judgment because Christ really took any judgment that anyone would, any one of us could possibly receive, and our faith in him, which is a gift, causes us to escape judgment. And this is confusing because the dais of Christ, which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and also I think 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is mistranslated in the King James Version, the judgment seat of Christ. But we do not come into judgment. And there's a strange word Paul uses. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10 to start the topic. You got something to say while I'm going for this passage?
But despite talking like I don't want to do another video, I did enjoy chit-chatting with Martin and appreciated the audience and the comments. And I appreciate those of you that have been listening. It's still been a lot of good memories and stuff, and I do encourage all those listening to, you know, keep moving forward in life. And everyone has problems, and I just wish the best for everyone, whatever your viewpoint, who's listening. Even if you're an atheist, whoever's listening, I just wish the whole listening audience the very, very best.
That's very spiritually mature. Thank you for that. And 2 Corinthians 5:10, for all of us, speaking of the body of Christ, must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ. Dais is bima. You've probably heard that Greek word. So it's a Greek word that most people have actually heard of. It's a raised platform. Whether it's literal or not, I don't know. I don't think it's an actual platform, but I think it does speak of an elevated place where all of us will be manifested, that each should be requited, and that's the difficult word here that we don't hear very often, that each should be requited for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. Now, in a concordant dictionary, requital is the Greek word chemizo, and the English element is very strange. It's fetch, like when you throw a bone to your dog. Fetch, go fetch, get it. So there's going to be a getting. There's going to be a getting of, as Paul explains in another passage, speaking of the same dais of Christ, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some works will be burned. There will be a getting back for that, but it's not judgment. It's just a ridding of works. It's a relief to have whatever things in our life we have not been able to deal with or they've been unpleasant, they're going to be gone. It's going to be like a magic wand. Bing! That's gone. Fetch the good feelings. And whatever we did right, again, there's going to be wages. So that's a beautiful thing. Greg, sitting here on the sofa. What was that verse you read that talked about getting things back in the body? It was more plainly worded. What verse was that?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I put you on the spot there. Oh, yeah. I got it. 1 Corinthians 4. This is good. Concerning judgment. 1 Corinthians 4:5. So that, be not judging anything before the season, till the Lord should be coming, who will also illuminate the hidden things of darkness. See, we all have hidden things of darkness, except for me. I'm the exception. I'm pure and holy, nothing but light emanating within me, just so you know. And manifest the counsels of the heart, and then applause. See, manifesting the counsels of the heart. This is what's going to come out at the dais. And then applause will be coming to each one from God. And you know what? I remember this. Aaron Seamster said that there will be no applause. He hated the idea of that again, it's going back to the rewards thing, going back to the wages thing. We have to be careful here. But each one. So there's going to be something good about every single one of us at the dais of Christ, but it's not judgment because we are completely justified. How can there be judgment if we're justified? That's a good point I think I just made there. Justification would seem to eliminate judgment, wouldn't it?
Well, you know that I was saying I needed to do more of a study. I would say definitely there's no condemnation, no punishment or anything like that. I was just speaking to Zender earlier and wondering if judgment is kind of a neutral word that can... But the essence of what you're saying, I fully agree with. Yeah. But I have to admit, when I have to do more study on something, and on this topic, I feel like I do need a bit of study on some words, specific meanings of the words.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's a good disposition to have. But if we're justified, then Paul has a tricky situation here. And Christ has a tricky situation when we appear at the dais to deal with these things in life that we've had between each other. It's like a making right of everything.
That's wonderful.
And yeah, and we can't be judged because we're justified. I heard myself say that, and I think that's absolutely right. How can a justified person, a person who's declared righteous, but then Wild Boar might say, exactly, Zender, how can a person who is judged, who is said to be righteous, how can they be punished for anything, or how can they, but this is not punishment, it's not judgment. We got to keep those words out of this. It is simply a fetch. It is a coming of wages, and it is a taking away of things bad. Paul uses the word bad, whether good or bad. He uses the word bad. I didn't invent the word bad, Paul says. When we will appear before the dais, that each should be requited for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. Oh, this is a disturbing thought for people, that we would appear at the dais, and even after being vivified, after being declared righteous, that there's still going to be a consideration of things we did that were bad. That's shocking. And I know Wild Boar is doing flips right now, not in of happiness, but flips of frustration. But we didn't talk about this verse before. I don't want to get back on that topic, but look at this. Amazing. All of us must be manifested in front of this is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If anybody has a problem with this, we go to Paul. I'm doing all this to say that we don't come into judgment. But things do happen. Listen to this. This is amazing. All of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ. Is this past, present, or future?
Future.
Exactly. It's future. We all must be manifested. I haven't seen the dais of Christ lately. Okay? It's not the bridge here over the intercoastal waterway on 17th Street, even though it's a raised area. It's not the dais of Christ. It's the future. That each should be requited, each of us. And this is in two different passages of Paul. I'm sorry. We can't avoid this. So that each should be required for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. So as much as some people cringe, as much as some people don't like it, it's the fact. There are going to be things, bad things, that will come up after we're snatched away. But remember, we are made immortal, and we are glorified, and we're going to love it. It's going to feel good to be rid of anything. And things, there are going to be believers looking at each other who have maybe fought in this life. Maybe in the past, some believer has killed another believer. I don't know, God forbid.
Probably has happened.
These believers are going to be facing each other, and then it's just going to be everything made right. That murder will be forgotten. But first, it'll be presented. I know. I didn't write this. You would think that, why don't we just forget it before? But I don't know. If I were God, I would do it that way. I would forget everything and just, as soon as we're snatched away, everybody fly away to our celestial destiny. None of this dais. But the dais is the body of Christ version of the great white throne for the mass of humanity. This is our version. If I were God, I wouldn't have done it this way. And neither would you, Wild Boar. If you were God, you would skip the dais altogether. In fact, you want to skip it now. You don't believe in it now, even though it's inspired scripture. Wow, it's amazing.
You could argue, people might go after me for this, but that, generally speaking, the worst of humanity appears at the dais first, because Paul says, you'll notice your calling, brethren.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's not many noble and so on. So, you know... We don't realize without the grace of God what we might have been, but apparently, for the most part, God, those God gives faith to believe and who are called are, generally speaking, I think, the worst lot from humanity. So, which is, it fits the biblical narrative, I feel. Yeah. God demonstrates his grace and love and joy by calling the worst. And Paul was obviously the worst of all.
Yeah.
Just as an example, so.
I have Romans 14:12 here. And I think this is maybe the passage I was thinking of too. Romans 14:12. Consequently, then, each of us shall be giving an account of himself. This is everywhere. Here it is. Consequently, then, each of us shall be giving an account concerning himself to God. And Paul says later here, by no means then should we still be judging one another. So this tells me that this, I believe this is referring to the dais again. We shall each be giving an account concerning himself to God. That's not judgment. Because Paul says, by no means then, based on the fact that we give an account before God and God's going to take care of all this, why are you judging each other now? By no means then should we still be judging one another, but rather decide this, not to place a stumbling block for a brother or a snare. Paul says, I've perceived and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is contaminating of itself, except that one reckoning anything to be contaminating to that one, it is contaminating. But there goes the bad thing again. But so these things are all going to be settled for us. Again, the dais of Christ, I think this is a fair statement, is the believer version of the great white throne. But it's not the great white throne. Speaking of the great white throne, there's one thing missing in our presentation of the evangel, judgment. It's not a good idea to tell somebody everybody's going to be saved. I don't think it's a good idea to tell people there's no such thing as hell, because they read it in their Bibles. What do you mean there's no such thing as hell? So you don't want to say anything that's going to set somebody off right away. It's going to trigger them and prevent you from explaining something more thoroughly. So I'll deal, first of all, with the first shocking thing I said, that we should not say that everyone's going to be saved, because everyone is going to be saved, but we must say that everyone will be saved in his or her own order, and there is judgment in between this life and the salvation of all. It is the great white throne. And I think as soon as we mention that, I think people breathe a sigh of relief, because the human wants to see vindication, wants to see, like you mentioned the first day, the scammers. You want to see scammers get what's coming to them.
Yeah, most certainly I do. Yeah.
Most certainly, those damn scammers. So of course we do, and I think it's human nature. Even Paul says, again, I'll bring it up again. He talks about Alexander the coppersmith did us much evil. He practiced much evil against us, and God will be repaying him. So even Paul wants to see vindication. This is our apostle at the end of his life, Mr. Grace, Mr. Salvation of All, and he's talking about wanting to see God get Alexander the coppersmith. So I think a lot of us have this human desire, and we choke it down, we hide it, because it seems ungracious. Well, I say now's the time to let it out, and now is the time to include it in our evangelism, because people just, what pisses people off is as soon as you say, yeah, God's going to save everybody, they just picture that Hitler is going to waltz into heaven with the swastikas still on his sleeve, you know, with a skull and crossbones still on his cap. He's going to come in with his jack boots, and he's going to be goose-stepping into the pearly gates. That's what people think. Then when you say, yep, even Hitler's saved, yep. I've heard people do that over and over again. It's a big mistake. You have to bring up judgment. You can't just say, yep, even Hitler's saved. No, you have to say, Hitler is going to get his ass kicked, if you want to put it that way. Hitler's going to experience indignation, fury, and affliction, according to Romans chapter 2. When God judges him, because, yes, people are judged. Each are judged at the great white throne. Romans 20, the word judgment is used there very clearly, very, very plainly, and it is painfully absent in any mention of the dais of Christ for us. We don't come into judgment. Hitler does. Billy Graham does. He's not a believer. I put Billy Graham in the same category as Hitler. You know that.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot. And I think you're making a really good point here, and I think people have to be convinced that you're... I think it helps if they know, if you're telling them about the salvation of all, that you also see an importance with the judgment and are kind of looking forward to it.
Yes.
But obviously, as the listeners, you'll know, you can see everything correctly and well. Most people still will never accept the salvation of all. It offends people.
Yeah.
But I think we're hitting on something important here, is not to minimize the judgment, but to use it as part of when you're sharing the message.
Yes. People will be far less offended in this message if you mention judgment. But I hear people, it just makes me cringe. I hear believers all the time presenting the evangel like everybody's saved. And again, people, you generally don't want to make it public that they have this secret desire to see people get what's coming to them. There's even Terry here, the most pure, holy, bright person I've ever met besides myself. Terry, even you want to see the scammers get what's coming to them. And it's beautiful that you were honest about it. But how can you feel bad about it when you hear Paul? Again, I go back to Paul. It's so amazing. At the end of his life saying, I want to, God will get the, I have to go there before you leave, young Terrence. I just have to go back to Paul here because it's so amazing. And again, this is the last letter he ever wrote. He has every opportunity to go out on a grace note. This is Mr. Salvation of All. And yet, like four sentences, or the last sentences he ever wrote, he says, verse 14, 2 Timothy 4, Alexander the coppersmith displayed to me much evil. The Lord will be paying him in accord with his acts, whom you also guard against, for very much has he withstood words of ours. What the heck? This is Mr. Grace, Mr. Salvation of All. God's going to pay that guy. And you can just sense that Paul wants to see it. It's human. And so judgment is necessary, prerequisite for the salvation of all. Why is it a prerequisite for Hitler? Hitler needs to confront what he did.
Yeah, see here, I think Paul is happy that Alexander the coppersmith, not coppersmith, but will finally be brought to his senses.
Yes.
I don't think Paul just wants him to suffer. I think but he's resting. He knows that all the loose ends will be tied up.
All the loose ends will be tied up. And it was same with Joseph and his brothers. There's a perfect example. Joseph was sent ahead to Egypt to save his family and to save a lot of people from starvation. And when his brothers came to him, you know, he was so moved that he was crying. And I suppose he wanted just to throw himself at their feet and hug them. But what does he do first? What does he do? He vexes the hell out of them. He puts his cup in their bag, sends them home, and sends his army after them. He tortures them, right?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and then he says, go bring your youngest brother to me. And they knew that would tear him apart because they knew how their father Jacob would feel about that. So he torments them. Before he reveals himself to them, Joseph torments them. Why? Same reason God will torment Hitler at the Great White Throne and Billy Graham at the Great White Throne, because they have to come to a realization in real time. They have to feel it, they have to see it, of what they've done. And then they're broken. Every one of us came to a place where we were broken. Whether big break, small break, we've all been broken, and that has led us to understand the salvation of all. It has led us to understand the grace of God, the love of God. We've been broken. And so we can't rob these other, you can't, what do you want to rob Hitler of the same experience? Hitler died, Hitler shot himself in the head thinking that, well, too bad that thousand-year Reich thing didn't work out. So he has no idea how badly he screwed up. He had no idea what the evil result of his evil designs were. He will be confronting those at the Great White Throne, and we'll be there to do the judging. We'll be part of the judgment there, because we will be, of course, vivified by that time, and we will be adjusted ourselves. Think of the dais, going back to the dais, Terry, we think of it as an adjustment for us. And again, if I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. I would just go right into glory, skip it, we're perfect, And I tell you, Wild Boar objects to that even. Like, he objects to, don't read that passage, damn it. Don't read the passage that we're still going to have to confront bad things. I've heard him ask this. Why are we still confronting bad things that we did at the freaking beam of Christ afterwards? I don't know, because God says that we are. I don't like it. I think it's strange, but it's necessary. It must be necessary or it wouldn't happen. And we're going to love it, baby. We're going to soak it up. It's going to be like, yeah, nothing's going to feel bad. I once asked James Corum, the man, the business manager of the Concordant Publishing Concern. I used to have him, invite him to Willard from Santa Clarita, California, to speak at my conference. And I asked him one time, I said, I was a squeaky little kid at the time, you know, I mean, not quite as experienced as I am now. I said, Mr. Corum, I didn't quite say it that way, but I said, is the dais going to hurt? It was just the most simple, honest question. Is the dais going to hurt? Because I think I must have prefaced my question with, Paul says that we're going to confront these bad things and that we're going to, fire is going to burn up our bad works. Paul says that. It must be true. Guys under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't do it that way. But Mr. Corum, please tell me, is it going to hurt? You know what he said to me? He said, it will be a relief. Nothing's going to hurt because we'll be vivified. Our bodies will be immortal. And we'll be flying high in the spirit. Hurt? It's like he want to grab my shirt collar. Kid, no, kid. It's not going to hurt,
really,
kid.
Really summarized everything we've been saying in that statement. He also said something Nock had mentioned about, that I thought was really interesting. Do you remember when you were talking about Nock and ruling and reigning and what he said about himself?
Oh, yeah. I read this. Terry and I were talking about this. Terry was amazed at this. A.E. Nock, I heard him say that he is more assured of getting rewards for the days when he was a boy when he swept out the church. He said, I am more sure of getting a reward for sweeping out the church at age 12 than I am for all the work I have done in the scriptures, for all the teaching I have done, for all the articles I have written, translating the scriptures. He goes, I'm not so sure of an award for all that, because he said, I'm not convinced that I've done it without an inkling of pride, without an inkling of job well done, maybe patting himself on the back a little bit. But I guess he looks back at when he was age 12, he was pure of heart, and he was sweeping out that church, not expecting anything. And he said, I'm more convinced of a reward for that than I am for all the work I did. That, to me, that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a humble attitude, because he felt that it wasn't pure. But you know what? Paul said, I don't, and I think Nock probably came to this. Paul says, I don't examine myself. I don't let humanity examine me, and I'll put the verse reference down here. I don't examine myself. Paul says, I'm not aware of anything sour or anything bad within myself, but that doesn't let me off the hook. God knows me. And so Paul, like you said the same thing. Paul's looking forward to being exposed by God, looking forward to having these things come out, because he knew it would be good for him. And he knew that if he examined himself, it comes down to this. When you examine yourself, you're going to find all kinds of weird motives. Okay, are all my motives pure? No. Even A.E. Nock said, I don't think my motives are all pure. Of course not. Of course not. Nobody's motives are pure. But we get a hint in Philippians when Paul is in jail and he's talking about those who are heralding the gospel while he's in jail, trying to maybe steal some of his disciples, trying to move in on his territory. And Paul says, who cares what their motive is as long as they're heralding the correct gospel? I'll put that reference down here. Very, very interesting how Paul looks at it. He says, who cares about the motive? The work is getting done. So I think we can definitely overthink and overjudge ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully everything we've talked about up to this point, that's not going to have that effect on people. I think even for Nock and Paul, even if they didn't think their motivations were always correct, they would still carry on with what they were doing. And you just, at the dais, let God sort it out, which is a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
None of us should want wages for things we've done with bad motivations anyway.
No, we're all going to be fine with it.
We just kind of would like to, see everything for what it was, our lives now.
Yes, and I think that's the reason to not self-examine, because the more you do that, the more you're going to see, and the more you're going to overween above what your disposition must be, the more you're going to criticize yourself where God is saying, hey, it's all good, what are you worried about, kid? You just go over and over and over in your own mind. Terry, I'm looking at the time. We're going to have to, man, I think we're really good together. Other people have said that. They enjoyed your testimony, and they enjoyed our teaching together. I sure have. I'm going to miss you when you leave. I'm going to miss Greg over there on the sofa cheering us on and coming up with the backup verses. So thank you all for watching. Terrence, I wish you a safe trip home.
Thank you.
And this ain't going to be your last show, so forget that crazy idea. Perfect.